I'm Blaine from the Mystery Jets.
I'm William.
Okay, what's your... Now, you are...
Kapil.
From?
Mystery Jets.
This tour has been a long time in coming, and there were some complications along the way. Am I mistaken that it wasn't easy for this band to get here?
Yeah, we had visa problems. We were meant to be here when the record came out in April or May.
We're coming out in May time.
It didn't happen because of the American touring company screwed up on our visas. Although, you know, not pointing fingers, but something went wrong within the machine. So we had to, we basically just stayed in England and sort of finished off our new record. And then we came out here about 3 weeks ago.
But yeah, I mean, this is not the first tour that by a band recently, and particularly from England, that's had issues. And you would think, you know, I mean, okay, security is what it is, but I mean, it's rock and roll, kids.
I mean, security to getting here is it's never been easy, but I think it's not the kind of thing which is going to get easier either. And also, you know, obviously bands like to party and have fun, and
No, you're kidding.
No, I am actually kidding. Yeah, but if there's a sniff of sort of danger about you, drugs or whatever, then
we were doing an internal flight from New York to LA a couple of days ago, and you know we were walking. We'd had a few drinks, we'd had two shows that night, so we'd needed to keep ourselves going basically.
And we had two shows and no hotel room, so we had to stay in a club. It wasn't our fault.
We went straight from the after party to the airport, and we were just about to go through security, and the woman said, "You know, I can't let you guys free. You stink." And we were like, "Well, that's charming. Well, you know, thanks."
And she's
like,
"And
she's like, well, you stink of booze," and we had to kind of be pulled to one side,
which isn't incidentally against the law.
For those of my listeners who you are new to, which I suspect is, you know, they've heard me play your music, but they don't know that much, and they haven't been able to discover that much. Now that the music is out there, so give me just the quick revisionist history, because the band has been around what for 10 years in theory, in different forms.
It's new to the public, but it's in actuality we've been going, like you say, for over 10 years. And the sort of founding members are me, Blaine, and Blaine's father, Henry. And since a sort of tender age, we've been sort of messing around with instruments and trying to write songs. And then we met Kapil and Kai about 6 years ago. That's our drummer and our bass player. And that's when we kind of, you know, became a serious band and toured and gigs and did all the rest of it.
And this album has been tooling around since, in various forms, since 2005. So this is...
Well, we've got two records. We've got Making Dens, which is the English LP. When we got the choice to put it out on... We got Dimmak, the American label. When we got the choice to put it out over here, we kind of figured that people who, you know, were likely to buy our record probably already had it. The majority of them probably already had it on import off Amazon. So we just thought we'll put out a different record over here. And, you know, it's not an entirely different record. It's got 80% of the same tracks, but it's got newer songs that we've done with Errol, who's producing our new record. And, we put out some new artwork, and we sort of, we wanted to tour it in a different way as well. And that's what we've put out over here, really.
You know, on the MySpace site, it says pop, power pop, and pop punk, which is a badge you wear proudly now, but then you weren't always that way, because I've seen other interviews where people have tried to kind of corner you into the word, that evil word, prog. So, no, I know, none of it's evil, because when you've listened, it's okay to listen to King Crimson. It's cool, you know? I mean, it is what it is. But would you sort out the last bunch of years for me, because everybody in America's only heard Zoo Time. They go to your website or they go to the MySpace site, and you know, and you had to put something on there because there's that line to put a category. And
it's always a sort of chore to have to categorize yourself, and I think it's something that no one enjoys doing, because it's like sort of putting yourself in a prison. But I think with power pop and pop, it's a kind of very broad brushstroke and a very kind of general way of saying that we make music that we want people to love and that is kind of...
And that we want to be popular.
Yeah, which we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we really do write music for ourselves, and don't get me wrong, in saying that, you know, I'd like us to be, you know, popular and, you know, and in the future and stuff like that. That's not to say that we write music to please other people. You know, if we feel like what we're writing is we won't write that song. You know, we'll destroy it, we'll burn it. But at the same time, I think, you know, we do want to play to rooms full of people who... who love what we're doing, and you know, and who've been waiting to come to see us play for a long time, and I think, you know,
I think the ultimate satisfaction is being able to play to full rooms, but on your own terms.
Yeah, and I read somewhere that, you know, I read again on your blog that sometimes you think that you're better off playing a nice, cozy, small room where people are dedicated than a big room where people are busy talking while you're playing.
You know, and I mean, take you know, tonight, for example, we're going to be playing the Fillmore, and, you know, I mean, we're on before the Claxons, the room may only be half full, and, you know, and out of those 200 people, maybe 5 people will like it. But I'd like to think the next time we come back, those 5 people will tell their boyfriends, their girlfriends, their friends, their classmates, their mums and dads, and you know, they'll take them to us to our next show, and when we play that next show, that, you know, that audience will have been filtered down through those people, and you know, it's like it's going to be a more refined crowd, and you know, hopefully by the 4th or 5th time that we come here, providing we don't leave it too long, we'll have a room full of people who actually know our songs and know the lyrics, and you know, have been waiting to see us.
I hear the group are major ping pong fanatics. Now, do you call that ping pong there, or do you call it table tennis?
Table tennis.
Yeah, so is there any difference between ping? Because table tennis sounds, you know, it's the same thing, right? You have football, right? And football is, you know, footy is, which is soccer. But you know, ping pong and tennis, that's table tennis. So is there a difference in terms of the seriousness of the playing of the game as a result of the more proper term for it?
Well, ping pong is more, you have to, when you hit the ball, it has to bounce on your side and the other side. And it's more of a kind of, there's something a bit more childish about it. Like the movements are more kind of, you know, clumsy. Whereas table tennis is like tennis. You have to hit the ball over the net and it can only land on one side, the opponent's side. So there are differences in rules. But they're not massive, I suppose.
I guess it's like beach ball and volleyball, you know.
So how did the whole father-son in the band thing come about? Did you grow up with dad in music, or...?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been, you know, really inspiring along the way. I mean, he's the reason we got into music into the first place. You know, when William and I started the band when we were 8 years old, it was really because of him, you know, his encouragement, and he came up with the name, and you know, he wrote our first couple of songs, and it wasn't until, you know, we kind of got a little bit older that we realised this was something that we really seriously wanted to pursue, and you know, looking back, I really appreciate the fact that, you know, he took that time with us to encourage us and stuff.
It must be a wild ride for him, even more so for you, though, huh?
He's loved it. I mean, he's been a businessman all his life, really. You know, he studied to be an architect for 7 years, and he went on and, you know, was quite a big property developer in London in the 80s. And then I think that kind of all came to an end at quite a convenient time, because it was when we were kind of getting into music and getting into bands and stuff. And that's when that's what the band kind of came out of, really. He was actually in poverty when we first started.
But there really is this interesting, and it's a great way to kind of, you know, talk about rock and roll in general. There's a perception about rock and roll not being a smart industry, and yet, you know, it takes...
It depends how you play your cards, you know. I'm sure Pete Wentz is proof that you can, you know, you can be pretty smart and have a good time. You know, if you spend your life on the road getting wasted, I think it will catch up with you one day. I mean, you know, you've got to have fun, but songs don't write themselves, and you've got to take time off and make sure that you don't fall apart. But I think it's like any industry, you know, if you've got brains and if you keep your wits about you, you know, you just need to make the right decisions if you want to have a lasting career.
It is a particularly sort of partied industry. Like, people who work for the music business, like, they do live life pretty to the full, the ones
you
know.
But I think,
I'm not saying that's bad,
so,
but it's kind
so
of...
So are many, many careers. I know estate agents who take more drugs. This is Kai, our bass player, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, he should sit down because he's here at a perfect time. We have a little game we play, and we've done this with over 150 bands, and everybody's played the game. So if you don't play it, I'll just cry. But we call it a musical sandwich, and here's what it is. It's two of your songs is the bread, and then anything else by other bands you want to play in between.
You should start with Zoo Time, which is the title track off our American record.
I reckon for the other bit of bread, maybe put in...
Well, work your way through it.
Can you play a track by Electronic?
you know, electronic, Bernard Sumner and Johnny Marr. Can you play a track called Getting the Message?
It would be nice to put a filler in there, which I think Rich references where we feel the second album is going. I think one of the main influences there would we'd all agree with would be Michael Jackson. So I'd like to take a Michael Jackson track. I'd like to take Black. What's it, Black or White?
Yeah.
I'd like to take...
I was going to say, you, if you're going to do Michael Jackson, you could do that more chilled one. You know, the one which is like, why, da 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 da, boom. Do they do it that way? Do it. You know the one I'm in?
Yeah.
It's really, really beautiful. It's on like Thriller or something.
A way I think we should do this is that the song which follows the previous song, there has to be some kind of connection within the personnel.
You're on
my Friday show, but go ahead. Okay, so Michael Jackson, produced by Quincy Jones, who played guitar on Black and White?
It wasn't Nile Rodgers, but it was Nile Rodgers inspired. So you could choose a Chic song.
Well, it was Van Halen. It was Eddie Van Halen, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he was on Beat It.
Okay, well, that's a different route. Okay, let's take Quincy Jones. So Quincy Jones also produced Maroon 5's first record.
I hope he didn't.
He didn't.
I'd put on Say Chic. Okay. Because Michael's guitar player was obviously very influenced by Nile Rodgers and Bernard Sumner. Because they did that whole disco pop thing probably a few years before Quincy did it.
Okay, well, I want to play Ball Under Punches by Talking Heads, but I'm just trying to work David Byrne and Brian Eno into the tree.
I think that fits quite snugly, to be honest.
Bernard Sumner and Brian Eno, there must be some kind of connection there.
Johnny Marr did guitar on the fifth Talking Heads record, which was the one with the monkey on the cover. What was it called? You know that Talking Heads record?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one just after Eno left. Mm-hmm. It's got
Speaking
a monkey.
Songs.
No, no.
No.
It's got
is
a monkey.
No. No, Remain in Light.
It's called like
Born Under Punches.
It's called like Only Human. Or
just purely taking a word from Talking Heads to Radiohead and maybe putting, you know, a song from Amnesiac on there. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the albums. I think it's one of their truly great albums. What tune?
I Will. It's beautiful.
I Will. Really dark tune. Very short as well. It'd be like a bit of gherkin within the sandwich, a little bit.
Isn't it the one that has alligator in the title? What is that?
Wedding drunk alligator. A mix of mitosis. Are you talking about amnesia?
There isn't an alligator.
A crocodile or alligator. It is. It's one of the first few tracks.
I'll find it.
It's a great song.
Cool. I think we need some like Thousand Island dressing now. I think.
Daniel Johnson walking the cow.
Okay. Can we play?
Not a particularly huge influence on band music, but personally, he's like as a songwriter, he's a big influence.
Can we? I think we should play something by Eddie Cochran on there. Just throw in something completely.
Summertime
Blues. Yeah. Which one?
Summertime Blues.
Oh, actually, let's do Joe Meek. Johnny, Remember Me. Let's do that. Let's throw that in.
John Layton. I think Devo, Satisfaction.
I'm going to go from Devo to another one word ending with O called Soko. It's this French girl, and it's a track called I'll Kill Her. S-O-K-O. And she's
massive.
She's French. She sings in English. And she just got...
Uffie, but without the beats. Yeah, Uffie with an acoustic guitar kind of thing.
No, it's not, man. Uffie's lyrics.
Can we jump over to the English side of the Atlantic and fly forward in time about 35 years and get to a band called Late of the Pier, who basically do a kind of similarly sort of warped sci-fi kind of pop thing and play one of their songs called Bathroom Gurgle. I don't know if you've heard that. Have you heard of them? Yeah, it's
they're on MySpace. They're a new band. They're amazing. Excellent.
Our producer Errol's just he's producing their record at the moment. So,
very cool.
All right, couple of more to lead into your song.
Bruce Springsteen, Dancing in the Dark, which leads quite nicely into our song, which is Diamonds in the Dark.
All right. I think we've done it.
And before that, Tegan and Sarah Walking with the Ghost, because they also did a cover of Dancing in the Dark.
Do you know the first track on Wizard of True Star? Mm-hmm. What's it called? If you could stick that in, that'd be amazing.
I think we've done it.